Morning. We are glad we have several visitors with us this morning. Some of them are familiar, some of you are not, but it doesn't matter because we're glad that everyone's here to worship God. This morning I'd like for you to think for a few minutes in very broad terms. Very big terms. There is a lie and there is the truth. There is God, there is Satan. There is good, there is evil. There is light, there is darkness. As Christians, we believe that. We understand that. But that's not the majority opinion of the world we live in today, is it? The world would have us to believe that truth is pretty much what I want it to be, how I believe that it is. And it's pretty much up to me to define what is either good or bad, if I even believe in good and bad. It's up to me to decide how I live my life and how I raise my children, how I interact with other people. You know, I really believe that the people that really believe that, I believe, really must be atheist. They must really believe that there's not a God. They must really believe that there is no accountability. Whether they profess atheism or not, I believe that's what they're living. But we hear statements like this. When we make a statement of belief, or when we make a statement that we believe something to be wrong or inappropriate, or as the world would put it, disingenuous. I think that word stinks. Oh, you're so disingenuous. Really? You don't find that word in the Bible, do you? But we hear statements like, well, that's how you look at things. I see it differently. Don't condemn me. We can both be right. I don't judge you, so you can't judge me. The truth really is how I perceive it to be. But you know what? Those statements are all true depending on one thing. And that thing is, those people don't ever have to answer to God. If you don't have to answer to God, you can say all those things. Things can be whatever you want them to be. But you know what? People are so confused today, they don't even know if they're a man or a woman. You know, what really gets me is a man that won the Olympic decathlon thinks he's a woman? I wonder on the day that Bruce Jenner told the world, I'm now a woman, I wonder if the hair quit growing on his face. You think he could make it quit growing? How messed up has Satan got people's minds? That's the root cause, is Satan. I had Matt read those scriptures this morning because I was going to use them at the end. I may not get to them, but they were important scriptures that I want us to remember about the apostles saw Jesus. They walked with Him. They touched Him. They believed in Him. They saw the things that He did, and He passed on gifts to them. And this Bible that we have, written by them and others, is the only standard of truth that we have today. It's all we need. So, first of all, let's look at this lie that says there is no such thing as truth. And I'm talking about spiritual or moral truth. God established all truth, both spiritual and physical. Okay? Let's talk about spiritual truth for just a second here. He's the creator of all spiritual life, all life, period. No scientist, no geneticist, no doctor has ever been able to create life, and they never will. I think God reserves that for Himself. He is the creator of spiritual life and physical life. He created the heavenly beings. We see in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 16, for by Him all things live and move. By him all things were created that are in heaven and are on the earth. That was talking specifically about Jesus at that in that paragraph, but we know that Jesus and God created man in their image together. And when God created life, when he created human life, he created something that never dies. The soul never dies. And we talk about eternal death, and that term is used in the Bible, and we use it, and it's a correct term, but it's not death like we think of death. When we think of physical death, we think of it's over. And that's the end, and there's no consciousness after that. But your soul lives for eternity. It either lives in eternal joy in the presence of God, or it lives in eternal punishment in the absence of God in torment. So we need to remember God is the one, he is the creator of all spiritual life. And God is the creator of all physical things and all physical life. What's the basis that scientists today, anthropologists, or whoever the leading thinkers in the think tanks, and all of the fellows at the universities, and all of these acclaimed people that you see propped up on television, or that write papers and get all these things attributed to them, what do they base all of their calculations on? What do they base all of their, you know, when NASA was able to send people to the moon or send men into space and bring them back alive, that's a tremendous accomplishment. It really is. But what do they base all of their mathematics and all of their theories on? They base them on the constant, non-changing laws of the universe that God created. We didn't create them. No scientist created them. No man created them. The fact that the earth revolves every 24 hours is time. That's what we measure our time on. You know, if we had one day, and there was a day or two when God stopped time, remember, when the Israelites were in battle. I think there was twice that God stopped time, and I didn't take time to look that up. But that's been actually, mankind has been able to trace back and find that. But how would they do that if, say, every once in a while it took 25 hours for the earth to revolve? Or maybe it took 23 hours. Or it even took 24 hours and 1 second. Over a period of time, that adds up, and their mathematical calculations are skewed. Therefore, things don't work right. What about after the flood, when God said in Genesis 8 and 22, while the earth remains, all the seasons will continue? What if 1 year we missed a summer? What if we went from spring to fall? What if there was no heat at all? Sure, sometimes they're shorter or wetter. We've had a very wet year this year. But what if they weren't there? Everything would be off. Jeremiah 10 and 12, he said, God has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. Now, those who preach evolution, those who teach all these other different theories of man, climate change or whatever, you know, maybe the climates are changing. You know, the earth goes through cycles. It's cold for a long time. It's hot for a long time. Is that because man made it that way? No. Does man make a volcano come up out of the ground? It's because God does that. But the thing is even though man may say, well, the earth's 200 million years old or whatever, and they base those theories on carbon dating and other methods, Their theories are flawed, but yet they're basing them on the not constant, never-changing aspect of time. And that's what I was talking about. 24 hours is a day. It never changes, ever. And it never will, because God set it in motion. Their time was created for you and me. There was no time before creation. There will be no time after the earth is burned up. And therefore, truth is not relative. It's not changeable. It's not open to my interpretation or your interpretation. It is sovereign, it's absolute, and it never changes. Okay, that's truth. That's what the Bible says is truth, and the Bible has proven itself. So let's look for a second at the lie. Let's look at the other side. As I said, I wanted you to think in big terms. Jesus said in John 8, in this chapter, in the 8th chapter of John, he has what may be, I don't know, but it's one of the longest conversations with the Jews who hated him. There was a lot of back and forth, give and take, back and forth. They kept after him. You know, you remember sometimes they would ask him a question and he would answer them, and they had no idea where he was coming from. That they thought, how could he? We didn't think he was going to say that. They didn't have an answer. They couldn't think of what to say, or he put them in a bind. But here in this passage, he has many. They talk about many subjects, and Jesus. They continue to question him. And in they were talking about how Abraham is our father. You know, they were very proud that they could trace their lineage back to Abraham. And Jesus, and they say to Jesus, "Well, who do you think you are? Our father's Abraham. How can you be our father? You're just a man." In verse 43, Jesus says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Or in other words, you don't want to hear what I have to say. Verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." So my point that I want to bring out from all this is all of the problems that we see in the world, the things I've been talking about, the things that we understand, they originate from Satan. He is the father of evil. But the world would have us believe there really isn't a line in the sand. It's, you know, you put it here, I put it there, it could be anywhere. Well, I have a few questions I would think that would be very good for us to ask those people or consider those people. And this goes along with people that say, "Don't judge me, I don't judge you, God's the judge." God is the judge, that's true. But I want you to think about something. You know, these people say, "Well, we're all God's children. If you're a good person, if there's a heaven and you're good, you'll go there." Well, this is what I would like to ask some of those people. Do they believe that people like Hitler will be there? How about Stalin? How about the ISIS people who are, we know what they're doing today. I'm not even going to go into details because of the children here, okay? But we all know what's going on. What about abortionists? Can we say that those people are those people going to be in heaven? If they die that way? Absolutely not. God says they will not. It's not my judgment, but God. And I think you would all agree with me there. Okay? So, there's a line there, isn't there? Well, what about when someone very righteous dies? And I see this much in the church. And I think that the statement that I'm going to get to. I see a statement of people in the church, and I agree with it. When we see someone righteous die, we believe that they're in the presence of God. We believe that they will be saved. And if we don't believe we would be saved, what are we doing here this morning, right? So are we making a judgment then? So if the righteous are saved, and we believe it, and we proclaim it, what is so hard about saying that evil people will be condemned? Okay? Where's the line? Do you follow my thinking? Let's look at that line. God drew a line in the sand before the first sin ever occurred. In Genesis the second chapter, verses 16 through 17, God told Adam and Eve, "Do not eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't do it. Because if you do it, you're going to die." That's what he said. That's not how he said it, but he said it. Okay? Satan comes along and says, "That's not really what he said. You didn't really understand what God told you. What he really meant was, if you eat of it, you're going to be really smart. and you're not going to die. Well, that sounds a whole lot better to a human mind, doesn't it? That sounds a whole lot better than the truth. The lie sounds better than the truth. Was God's statement to Adam and Eve, was it open to their interpretation? No, it wasn't, was it? Even though they twisted in their mind what God said with the help of Satan, they twisted that to thinking, yeah, we're going to be smart. We're not going to die. We'll be like God. And look at that fruit. It's so beautiful. It's so pretty. Let's just taste it a little bit. Maybe that's what some of the things that went through their mind. Even though they twisted it, the truth was not relative. It was not up to their perception of the truth. And Satan, through that act, condemned all mankind to die a physical death. It's still happening today. You know, at least Adam and Eve, a little in their defense, I guess, at least they didn't have any history to look back on. We've got 6,000 years to look back at and recorded right here for us by God. We really have no excuse to try to twist the truth. God never changes, as he says in Malachi, the 3rd chapter and verse 6. And since he created truth, it has never changed. And as I said before, man cannot create life or escape death. We can cause physical death. We could take our own life or another person's life. And, you know, that's been happening since Cain killed Abel. But you cannot kill the soul. You cannot kill the spirit. Now, the truth spiritually, in broad terms, the truth spiritually, in two words, in one name, is Jesus Christ. We all understand that. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And I want to talk about those three things right quickly. The way. The concepts and of Christianity that Jesus taught and He lived were radically different than Judaism. Jesus was a radical in His time. Everything He did was totally different than the norm. That's being radical. Who would anybody disagree that this nation has to make a radical change to survive and be prosperous? Haven't we radically departed from what we were 200 years ago or even 100 years ago? Don't we need a radical change? Don't we need a radical change if we're living in sin as an individual and need to come to God? That is a total repentance is a 180. That's radical. That's totally different. Jesus said, love the Lord your God first and your neighbor second. And he said in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14, that very few people are going to find the right path. We've got the same sins today as we had in the beginning. Satan started it with a lie and quickly led to disobedience, death, murder. And in short order, the world was so wicked, God couldn't even stand it anymore, so He flooded it all and killed everybody except for 8 people. We know that. That's how quickly things progress. Jesus said, difficult is the way which leads to life. John 14 and 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. Through Him is the only way. He is the way. That's what the church was referred to when it was first established after the day of Pentecost. Those disciples that followed Jesus, they were looked upon and called by other people as the way. And that was true. Jesus is the truth. In John the 18th chapter, verses 37 and 38, when he stood before Pilate, Pilate pretty much got done questioning him. And let me turn to that right quick. I'm going to read those two verses. John 18, 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" You know, I wonder if Pilate said that like, "Well, what is truth?" Like he was interested, or if he said it like, "Oh, what's truth?" Like he didn't care. I don't know. But he went back out, told the Jews, "I don't see anything wrong with this man." But Jesus was the truth. He bore witness. He fulfilled prophecy in Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 21. When he went into the Sabbath day, went into the synagogue on one of the Sabbath days, when he had started his ministry, he read from Isaiah the prophet about himself, and then sat down and says, "This scripture is now fulfilled. I'm the one." He was in Nazareth when he did that, and they started talking to him, and he said, "No prophet is without honor except in his own country." Here's where he was raised. And they would have killed him. They drove him off to the edge of town. Were going to run him off a bluff, and he either disappeared from them or he went out of their sight in some manner. You can read about that in Luke the 4th chapter. Can you imagine someone that you grew up with proclaim themselves the Son of God? What would you require to believe that? You'd require some great miracles, wouldn't you? Well, he did it. Paul told Timothy, "I know who I believe in, and I'm persuaded that the things he told me will be true at the end of time when I stand before him." That's in my words. We see in John, the 1st chapter, that Jesus is the life. We talked about the way and the truth. Jesus is also the life. John 1, verses 3 and 4. "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And verse 5, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." He was here, he was raised among his own family, among his own people, and they didn't see the light right in their face. He was not recognized as God. But he proved it to man by overcoming death and raising from the dead through the power of his Father. Do we know of anyone else that's ever been able to do that? No. And yet, mankind, throughout all time, still puts their hope in some false god. In Leviticus, the 18th chapter, verse 21, the children of Israel were taking their babies and putting them on an altar that was on fire and offering them to this false god. How perverted can you be? What about the 450 prophets of Baal? They couldn't raise somebody from the dead. They couldn't even get fire to come down from heaven, could they? And burn up the altars. What about maybe one of the pharaohs? Any of them come back from the dead? They buried him with all kinds of gold and possessions and put him in these great pyramids. Some of you have been to see some unbelievable buildings. But they're just a bunch of dead bones. They're not alive. They have no power. What about the Dalai Lama? Maybe one of the popes. Maybe Buddha or Ho Chi Minh or Chairman Mao or Joseph Smith or Muhammad. What about Elvis? Did Elvis ever come back from the dead? That's a joke. No, he didn't. We know he didn't. But you know what's sad is there's some people that really kind of actually have hope he might still be alive. He might really be alive. You know, Satan's only chance of escaping eternal punishment ended when God raised Christ from the dead. He proved for all time that he is the true Messiah, and he is going to be our righteous judge, as we see in 2 Timothy 4 chapter verse 1. The only life, in broad terms again, the only life after death, physical death, is with God. Christ is the only way to God. I know that's true because Christ said it in John 14, verse 6, and He has proved that He is also God. He is part of the Godhead. He is God the Son. So today, in this very confusing, wicked, and aggressive world that we live in, isn't it great to have something, a rock to hold on to? Let's trust our eternal souls to the only power that we know that can give us eternal life. Excuse me. There's no religion, there's no creed, there's no belief of mortal man, there's no false god that has power over death. Because if there was, they'd still be alive, wouldn't they? We have to trust only in the proven power of our Creator to save us. That's what gives us the confidence and faith we need to stand before Christ in judgment. We're all going to stand alone before God. If we are righteous, if we have died in a righteous state, Christ will recognize us. He will say to the Father, "I know you, I know this one. See, here's his name on my forehead." We won't really have a forehead, we'll be a spirit, but that's the terms that the Bible uses. Are you ready? Do you know the truth? It's pretty easy to distinguish truth from a lie in these times. I guess that's one good thing about it. Evil is becoming progressively worse. And this line of between truth and evil, for those of us who know the Bible and search after God, is becoming very evident. So this morning, as I leave these thoughts with you, I guess one of the things that I want, one of the reasons that I did this is to encourage all of us to hold fast to the truth. Don't be ashamed of the truth. Don't be ashamed to speak out against what's wrong. Christians have to speak out against what's wrong. If we don't, we're complicit. If we don't speak out against what's wrong, people look at us and say, "Well, it must be okay with them. He didn't have any problem with it." That's taught in the Scriptures. This morning, if you have a need, if you're on the wrong side of the line, if Satan has overtaken you, God wants you back. He wants you to come back. And those of His family want you to come back. If there's anything we can do this morning, please let it be known as we sing our final song.